I'm Lando Calrissian. Glad to make your acquaintance.
Welcome, welcome to the Lando Cal Pod. Today we're just going to talk a quick review on Transformers The Last Night. What many may say is a failure. I'll say a little bit of the opposite, but I'll get into it. I got my opinions on a lot of the film, many things about the film that I felt could have been different, could have been better, but this is Michael Bay, so what can we expect? Apparently, it's the last one of Bay's Transformers. So let's get into the show, the Lando Cal Experience. Check it out. So I went to go see this movie. I actually seen it twice. And I would say this. If there's nothing more that you could get out this film, it is the action intense, dramatic feel to some of those scenes. I'll tell you, you could go back to Bad Boys 1, even Bad Boys 2. You know about that highway scene. Transformers 3 had that highway scene as well. And even when you watch the movie The Island with Scarlett Johansson and Ewan McGregor, I believe. And listen, Michael Bay could do any action film in the world. Now, story-wise, not a lot of what happened with Transformers, I can say, was like great story. It kind of was, in the short term, I would say, it's a little cheesy. But, it was pretty cool. What we expect with Michael Bay is, this is what we're getting with Transformers. This is the fifth installment. It never rebooted as it's supposed to have been the last film in the fourth film, Age of Extinction. The problem with that is that it's the same formula to every film. And so you go way back into the day, maybe before man, a little early man day, whatever, whenever you feel like, okay, cool, let's throw something in the mix that intertwines old Earth with present time. And the problem with that is now you got five films that do the same exact thing. And so in the formula staying the same, it just takes you back, brings you to the present, combines the two mid-film when you realize it's really, really going down. And then action kind of holds you together. The CGI alone, Bay makes them spend that money. I can't lie about that. I think this is what gravitates towards every film. You can't help but seeing these gigantic robots transforming and the intricacy and all that. That to me is just phenomenal. The action scenes definitely hold weight. This film to me, I felt like it was a little all over the place. Although, and not to spoil it for anybody, but yes, this is going to be a spoiler one. I'm sorry. But you get the beginning, you get the into the start of the film. It just starts off in this real dark ages, you know, King Arthurius or whatever they call it, battle where, you know, man's fighting man, and they interject a early Transformer, one of the knights, and what that was they landed here years before. They always remained hidden, and then there was a certain bond that developed through Merlin. Merlin had no powers. He was just a fool, you know, but it turned out to work in their favor because it did help turn the ties by having a truce, so to speak, where, you know, the lands were protected or whatever the case. But anyway, so you get this early showing where you're way back in the day. And let me tell you something. I would love to see Bay do a film based around the early, you know, whenever they fought knights and, you know, all that stuff. Because it was so dramatic. It was so intense. I mean, the visuals were stunning. And then, of course, it comes to present day. So you get a glimpse of that. You see where Transformers had an early dealing with humans. And then you get to present day where all that comes together eventually throughout the film. But a lot of the film, I felt like it was just repetitive. It was, you know, if it wasn't for the CGI, the robots, if it wasn't for, and let me just say this, if it wasn't for Optimus Prime being voiced by the same Optimus Prime voice since I was a kid. But then to have Frank Weller come back and do the voice of Megatron. Like, I'm going to tell you something. To me, that was just, that was a high point of the film, man. Because that homage alone, I felt like this is what it is. This is what it's supposed to be about. You know what I mean? You never really seen them two in a film live action. The last film was Age of Extinction. And you did have Frank voice Galvatron, but it wasn't Megatron. It's not like you said Megatron, you know, and all that. This actually brung that together. You know what I mean? So to bring Frank back and have him play Megatron, and then, you know, Peter Cullen play Optimus Prime. Not since a kid have I heard that together again. You know what I mean? So I definitely was hype about that aspect of the film and going in to see it. And the reason I seen it twice, because 3D really throws you off. You miss a lot with 3D. I think they focus so much on the stuff coming at you, you don't realize the surroundings of the film, the scenery, the real beauty in the CGI. To me, I felt strongly. So I had to go see it again. I went to see it in IMAX, and that just was phenomenal. But back to the story. So you got this story that's kind of like the same repetitive thing. You got a lot of, you know, the past, the present, not future, but, you know, what can happen, I guess. And so you bring Optimus Prime into the film. He's in space. He's lost. He really wasn't even in the movie for too long, in all honesty, because remember when he left Age of Extinction, at the end, he took off. He was looking for the makers, the creators. He wanted to see what's up, man. Why y'all keep coming at us? And in doing so, you know, he finds himself floating through space, lost, as we've seen it in the trailer. So that's not a spoiler. And then he gets to Cybertron. And he meets Quintessa. I guess she's like the creator, you know, of the Transformers, I guess. And, of course, the dying Cybertron is, you know, hopeless. And she has her little quest into rebuilding Cybertron. But the sad part to me is, like, you get all this new stuff with Cybertron. But yet, Cybertron in Dark Side of the Moon, I ain't seen no Quintessa. I haven't seen anything about the staff that would light Cybertron back up and bring the energy through from Earth to Cybertron and rebuilding it. But it was just a lie. It was like all over the place. One of the things I think everybody expected who really is a fan of the Transformers franchise is to see Unicron in some small way. And this is not to spoil it for people who haven't seen the movie. But Unicron is a big part of the film with a really kind of like, you know, curveball to the whole concept of who Unicron is. So, and but now Quintessa is trying to destroy Unicron, and in doing so, you're destroying Earth, because Unicron technically is Earth, and Earth is just the name the humans gave it. And you don't see that until Cybertron starts getting close and, you know, it's starting to happen or whatever the case is. And she's trying to drain the energy from Earth and destroy Unicron in doing so. To me, that was whack. Again, I want to see Unicron come through as a planet eating planets, transforming if it can't eat the planet or whatever the case is. But it was just, I felt like this is Michael Bay's way of whoever wrote it, whoever's getting instructed to write it, screenplay or whatever. It's their way of not trying to be direct and using the Generation 1 story by any means. A lot of the times we see so much of the Transformers vested into these films, but you don't get that real true story that really holds us down. Like, oh man, they paid so much homage. You don't get that. It kind of upsets me a little bit because I'm hyped to see Bay go. Sad that he will go because the action is, like I said, phenomenal action. That kid does his thing, and I think he won me back with 13 Hours film that came early 16. And, you know, that film was so good, but it wasn't silly. It was dead serious about the soldiers of Benghazi, and he showed himself out in doing that film. You know what I mean? From the tight bond between some of the actors and, you know, the characters, of course, in the film, the true story part about it. And then the dramaticness, the action that came with that and, the drama. So I thought he won me back with doing that film. And then, of course, you get the Transformers again. And now we're back to square biz where, come on, put a story together that holds weight and not repeat what every film does prior. You know what I mean? It could have been simple. Megatron could have been fighting for Energon. You could have gave me a basic. But make it intricate in the sense of Unicron is a threat to everything. How do you fix that? I mean, they did that in the 1986 film, Transformers movie. Why not pay a little more homage to that? Although, the Megatron and Optimus Prime being voiced by the two original voicers of the Generation 1 cartoons, I think was one of the high points to me. Overall, the movie was dope. The movie had a lot going on, so it kept you in tune. It kept you kind of, wanting more. So we didn't lose too much, you know what I mean? Focus. Although sometimes the story can get everywhere. Anthony Hopkins has an appearance. He has a major part of the story as being one of the keepers of the origins of the Transformers with Earth. But I was just like a little thrown off. You could see a lot of the humorous aspect of the film. It was just like, I thought Anthony Hopkins would be a little more deeper. You know what I mean? Give me like a wizard type Anthony Hopkins or Odin Anthony Hopkins. Even Silence of the Lamb, Anthony, but I guess it worked. It worked for the film. I guess it works for the masses of audiences to keep them entertained in the theater. But outside that, definitely a lot of the characters came back. And one character in particular that kind of threw me off, and I know they had to do this because that's how it goes down. Your man, what's this kid's name, man? Josh. So, Josh Duhamel comes back as William Lennox, but I guess Colonel. And the problem for me is his character just lost all faith in Transformers, it felt like. It felt like I was watching him just go through this place of he just betrayed everything he knew. You know, I mean, from searching and destroying Autobots and, I mean, being a major factor of that, you know, and having his team do it. That was kind of awkward. I was like, come on, man. And then I'm looking for Tyrese. Where's Tyrese? But I see another brother with a bald head. So I was like, okay, they're trying to replace my man. Yet one of the, you know, when you look up the casting and all that, there was a site that actually had miswrote it because Tyrese wasn't in the film. And I was hype about that. But all good. Anyway, so, you know, Mark Wahlberg came back. That kid was phenomenal. He did his thing. I don't look at it as too much I'm looking for from him. He played his part. And then the young lady, the new chick, Isabel Moner. And so, either way, she played Isabel, Bella. And she was good. I thought she was going to be more of a factor to the film. You know what I mean? But it was cool how they kind of introduced her. I think she could play more in films to come. You know what I mean? From her angle. But, you know, there were definitely some cool parts. And, I don't believe that they need to do humans in the films. I think the Autobots and the Decepticons, they have souls. They talk. They, you know, You know what I mean? They're alive. So why not make stories based around them? This has been five movies in and 10 years, a decade of films. I'm not complaining. You get to see these robots on screen. Not since Pacific Rim have we got a good one. But I do feel like the story should be based around the Transformers and not. You don't need human counterparts. Like, I'm not watching Pokemon. I'm not watching Rescue Bots. I'm not watching, Voltron. Just give me Transformers, man. Take it to Cybertron, man. Give me a prequel. I think when they reboot this whole series, give us something different, man. Completely different, man. But I'm, of course, I'm still watching whoever is starring in the movie. But aside that, awesome movie to watch, just to get the action, just to get the Transformers on screen again. It's definitely a must see. But if you're like me and you're into the story and this story is no different than all the stories, all the Primes and Part Two, and that was like the worst out of all the films. But this one definitely was all around good. It kept you in tune. It kept you, wanting more. So, you didn't have like Age of Extinction and the silly story they had, and then the last 30 minutes was the best once the Dinobots came into play. But this one had a little more, but it was just, I felt like definitely with bringing the past into the future, kind of, it's just the same concept, same, format, which after a while gets old. I could see it for one and two, but then three, four, and five, that's a little much. But, absolutely a must see. I'm not gonna take that away from the film. You gotta see it. It's like one of the blockbusters of the summer. Action all day. But like I said, if you're looking for story, you're not gonna get the best story. You're gonna get continuity, but it's still a little bit like, okay, it's just a whatever story that they gave us. You know what I mean? But email us at the LandoCalPod at gmail.com. Man, for any questions, man, whatever you think, opinions, even if you don't agree with me, that's what we want to hear. We want to hear what people feel about this film. Because you get a lot of negative press out there. I've seen a lot of reviews that kind of threw it under the bus. But there are parts about this movie that you got to see. You know what I mean? It's always epic, big action. That's no better way of putting it. But so definitely go see it. Tell me what you think. You can check us out on iTunes and Stitcher, Podbean, Lando Cal Pod. You can sign up and then email us again and find us on Facebook, the Lando Cal Pod at Facebook. And there it is. That's my review for Transformers. The Dark, ooh, The Last Knight. I almost said The Dark Knight. Look, Batman. Anyway, but The Last Knight, definitely, man. All right, man, peace.